On Midwest Week, remembering the immigration raid in Postville, Iowa, 10 years ago. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Pat Blank, reporter and program host for Iowa Public Radio. So going back to 2008, Pat, who raided what in Postville?
In 2008, U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement agents moved in to a kosher meatpacking plant known as Agriprocessors.
Okay. And how long had the plant been operating in Postville before that raid?
I believe at least 6 years, possibly as many as 10.
And so how did a kosher slaughterhouse end up in northeast Iowa?
I'm not really sure. It just seemed to be the right place at the right time. I know they did some research. They knew that the Midwest was a good place to be able to send out their goods because they were one of the largest, if not the only, when they first opened, kosher meat processing plant in the United States.
And the workers who were arrested, what do we know about them? Where were they from?
Mostly from Guatemala. Some were from Mexico, but they were from Latin American countries for sure.
And what happened to them as a result of the raid, Pat?
Most of them were sent to local jails and were brought to trial and then eventually deported.
And what were they charged with and convicted of and all of that?
Mostly identification fraud, as was the owner of the company at the time.
Now, how about the owners of Agriprocessors in Postville? What happened to them as a result of this raid?
Well, the main owner was Shalom Rabashkin. He was the CEO. He and his father were the principals in the ownership of the meatpacking plant. There were also several other people who worked for him who were local residents, who were from the areas around Postville, some of the up in Allamaquee County and Winneshiek County. They were members of the team, so to speak. Those people who worked for the Rabashkins mostly have spent their time in prison. They were also convicted of identification fraud and arranging to have these workers be given false identification.
So was the company then actively recruiting illegal immigrants, or were people just showing up and no one was making a big deal about paperwork?
When Shalom Rabashkin's trial was underway, it was brought to the attention of federal officials, of course, who believed that this was had gone on for quite some time, that there was recruitment, and once some family members would come in and get an identification, then they would notify other family members, and they were brought here as elaborately as maybe brought into the country and then being bused to the Postville area.
Wow, okay. And so, Pat, what about the workers? Did you get the impression or do we know that they were active participants in the document fraud, or did they just go to work and the company would sort of take care of the paperwork and Social Security numbers?
I think that's more the case than the latter. I think most of them wanted a job. They knew they were here without documentation. They know they needed paperwork and somebody was taking care of it. I think a few of them understood what was going on, but I think the large share of them just came and had the paperwork taken care of, and they were just happy to have a job so they could send money back home to either Guatemala or Mexico.
And it could be they may not have even realized that they were breaking some law or other.
Could be. It could be.
And what about the town since the raid? What's happened to Postville in the last 10 years?
Right after the raid, there was, as you could imagine, a large evacuation of people who were not part of the raid, but who moved away. And there were some people who stayed behind, mostly the women, and they were here because their children were here. Many of the children continued to live here and went to school. A lot of the houses where the immigrants were housed were either boarded up or sat vacant for several years. Since then, there has been a turn of events. Agriprocessors has been sold. It has a new name called AgriStar, and a whole new complexion of the city has taken place. There are workers from Somalia and from many other countries, so there's a much more diverse group of people who are working in the plant. And a lot of the younger people who had who had moved away to go to college, that kind of thing, residents of Postville, are coming back to the town. And in fact, for that part of the state, Postville has one of the lowest crime rates in that corner of northeast Iowa.
Now, you covered the 10-year anniversary earlier in May. Did they have any events in Postville, or maybe there's a headline in the local paper and people like you came to town for a day or so, or what?
It was pretty subdued. There was a multi-denominational prayer service held at 10:30 that morning, and then a march to the park, and then just a couple of speeches from people who had been there when they were children, and people who had been there at St. Bridget's Catholic Church, which was a refuge for some of the people whose families were torn apart at the time. It was very low-key, and there were not a protest, not really that kind of thing. It was just people talking about what had happened to them and where they are today.
And so what do the people in Postville say about the raid 10 years later? Is it something that was a great trauma for a lot of them, or it's just something that, just another anniversary of something strange that happened in their hometown?
Well, I talked to Aaron Goldsmith, who is a businessman there and was a council member, city council member for several years. And he says, it's part of our history, but it does not define us. It's part of something that happened to Postville, but it's not the definition of what Postville is all about. Postville is so much more than that raid that happened in May of 2008.
And what about the Rabashkins and the people from the Jewish community? Did that survive at all in Postville?
The Jewish community is still there and is strong. Shalom Rabashkin, who at the time was the owner, was convicted and served 8 years of his 27-year sentence for bank fraud. His sentence was commuted in December of 2017 by President Trump. So he's out, he's free, and living in New York, as I understand.
And do we know, Pat, if the Postville raid led to any sort of long-term state or federal policy changes or anything different by immigration customs enforcement or some changes for American companies or anything like that?
When I was doing my reporting, I talked to Mark Gray, who's an anthropology professor at the University of Northern Iowa, and he said one of the many things that is different now that was changed by the Postville raid is that screening for applicants is much more intense. And instead of having a certain population, for example, Guatemalans and people from Mexico, the population that works at meat processing plants and some of the similar operations is much, much more diverse. So instead of having one or two or three countries represented, there may be as many as 15 or 20 represented in the workforce.